This is Phil Ferrand, and I am driving home. As you can probably hear, it is raining, and so we're actually don't have as quite as much light, and the lightning is going off, which brings me, by the way, it's episode 108. Before I get started on the topic of today, which I have a lot of material on, the lightning reminded me that I was supposed to tell you about my bit of irony last week. As I had mentioned before, I sold out my business. One of the interesting things about having an internet service provider business, if it is a wireless internet service provider business, is that I had a 100-foot metal stick that stood straight up in the air. And as you can imagine, when you have lightning storms, there is a small concern that you might get hit by lightning and completely blow out all the equipment on the tower. And that equipment on the tower does have some expense to it. So for the past 4 years, every time there's been a lightning storm, I've had a little thing in the back of my head. I wonder if today is the day that the tower gets hit and the equipment gets blown out. We have had a few close calls here and there. We have had some minor router issues or, some minor lightning strike issues that we were able to resolve, and it wasn't too bad. But once I sold out the business, when was it? Last week? Week before last? Signed the paperwork? Last? Week before last. Week before last. Signed the paperwork. The very next day, Saturday, we had some lightning storms. And as my wife and I were going out to eat that evening, I told her, you know what? I don't care. Because I have sold the business. So I don't care anymore what happens to the equipment on the tower. Aside from the fact that if it was hit, I would be out of internet for a couple of days. I'm going to go ahead and start talking a little louder because the rain is really starting to come down, and so I don't want to get drowned out by the rain. If I'm talking too loud, I appreciate that. I apologize for that. So anyways, we had a lightning storm on Saturday. Da-da-da! I don't care. Then on Sunday, we had another big lightning storm coming through. Even bigger. And as I was walking downstairs in the evening, I told my wife, you know what? I don't care. So I had gotten my work done for the evening. It was about 10 o'clock. I hadn't eaten supper yet. And I thought, you know, let's just throw some eggs in the microwave and we'll put some lentils on them. Done and done. So I was getting the eggs ready. I was just about ready to do that. And wouldn't you know it, boom! I mean, it's a huge lightning crack. So I wander upstairs confident that it is the tower that has gotten hit. And my wife says, yeah, it came from over there, pointing in the direction of the tower. And I said, yeah, it sounded like it hit the tower. So I check, sure enough, we don't have internet. Thinking, well, that's that. Good time to get out of the business. And then I called my buddy, who's next door, and I said, do you have internet? And he checked, he said, yeah. I said, you do? He said, yeah, I've got internet. Huh. So I start chasing it back. As it turned out, my house got hit by internet lightning. We call this irony. It blew out my unit on the roof. It took out my wireless router inside the house. By the time it was all said and done, it took out one of my Xboxes and blew out the Ethernet port on it. It took my speaker system down. I think it even popped my charger for my phone. So I spent the next week and a half cleaning things up from that. A little bit of irony. But everything's good. I got the equipment replaced. Hopefully that won't happen again tonight. Anyways, it has been a good week. Had a lot of great conversations this week. I haven't been able to get together with all my guys this week. Some of them had other things that took them away this week, but it really has been a great week. Lots of good, enjoyable conversations. I was reading this past week, I think it was this last week, an article in the New York Times, and it had a big impact on me, so I thought I would pass it along to you. You are more than welcome to go look up the article yourself. The name of the article is Sugar Toxic? Really fascinating article. The author of the article started out by mentioning Robert Lustig, who apparently in mid-2009 gave a lecture called Sugar, the Bitter Truth. The lecture was posted on YouTube. It's a 90-minute discussion of fructose biochemistry and human physiology. You would not expect a 90-minute discussion on fructose biochemistry and human physiology to be very popular, but in fact, it has over 800,000 views, and according to this article, is gaining at a rate of about 50,000 views a month. And the writer of the article chalked it up to several different facts, but one of the things that he felt like contributed to the popularity of this video was the fact that researcher Lustig actually uses the term toxic when he refers to sugar. Now, just as a way of establishing who this lecturer is, he is a specialist on pediatric hormone disorders and a leading expert in child obesity. So this is not some quack. This is a bona fide, genuine researcher. And he is convinced that sugar is toxic. Now then, it's not like we haven't known for some time that sugar wasn't the best thing for us to eat. And by the way, when we say sugar, we're not just talking about high fructose corn syrup, which of course everybody is demonizing at this point. We're talking about just the regular garden variety, sugar beets, sugar cane, whether it's white, whether it's brown, doesn't matter. That chemical that is made up of fructose and glucose. Fructose is a lot sweeter than glucose. Fructose are those things that you get from sugar beets, sugar cane. You can also get it from regular fruit. And glucose is those things that we get from carbohydrates, processed carbohydrates, or as carbohydrates are broken down in our bodies. First of all, they do say in the article that we're not really talking about fruit here. The problem is not fruit. Because as you're eating fruit, the fruit is bound in with fiber. And that fiber helps slow down the metabolizing of the fructose that's in the fruit. What we're talking about is the refinement to where we're getting pure fructose. Well, not pure fructose, but we're getting fructose without any of the accompanying fiber. And when that happens, it does different things in the physiology of the body. And one of the interesting things about fruit is that your average normal person, when they're eating fruit, can only eat so much of it. You don't typically see someone sit down and eat a whole bag of oranges because there's a certain work effort that's involved in it. And so you eat two or three, four oranges, you're pretty well done. However, if you take those oranges and you squeeze all the juice out of them, all of a sudden, those oranges that were healthy now have been stripped of all their fiber, and a lot of what's left is a high concentration of fructose. And that specifically is the problem that they were talking about in this article, is sugar toxic? So the question then is sugar really that bad, and what makes it bad? And up until this point, a lot of people have been thinking that, well, sugar is just bad because it has empty calories in it. That sugar isn't really toxic, it's just that the calories are very easy to absorb by the body, therefore it's easy to put on weight when you eat sugar. I don't think, and that's in question for anyone. Anyone who has eaten any load of cookies at any time realizes that the high caloric content of those cookies are going to cause you to gain weight. There seems to be evidence now that it's more than just that. And people will say, well, but there's been FDA reports and blah, 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 blah. And the article was talking about the fact that, yes, there is a study that is often pointed to by the producers of sugar and high fructose corn syrup that, well, in 1986, there was a study and it said there was no problem, no deleterious effects to health with sugar. What's interesting is that the author of that study now works for the sugar industry. but beyond that, the article was pointing out that if you look at the amount of sugar that was calculated in the study, it was actually well below the amount of sugar that Americans were consuming every year. And that level of sugar has just gone up. So even the study that was done, according to this article, in 1986, was flawed because they really didn't account for the levels of sugar that Americans were already consuming. And I mean, it's really amazing. They had some graphics in this article. And apparently the average American consumes like 45 pounds of plain sugar a year. That's like a wheelbarrow of sugar. And not only is it empty calories, they're finding out now that it may be worse than that. So let's set that aside for a minute. On a parallel track, there is new research into what is called metabolic syndrome. And metabolic syndrome is a contributor to, when you have metabolic syndrome, it means that you do not process insulin correctly in your body. That your body has become insulin resistant. And one of the key indicators of metabolic syndrome is an expanding waistline. You're starting to put on weight, because the insulin that your body naturally produces is not being put to work. And if it doesn't get put to work, then all those sugars that are in your body get converted to fat and you start putting on weight. So they got this metabolic syndrome thing that they have identified as not only increasing weight, but also as being a contributor to heart disease, because it throws your cholesterol levels and your, what are they called, your good lipids and your bad lipids, it throws them all out of whack when you have metabolic syndrome. And they said it's possible for thin people to have metabolic syndrome too, because metabolic syndrome is directly traced back to fatty tissue in your liver. And they've been trying to figure out, well, why do we get fatty tissues in our liver? Yada, yada, yada. And here's where things start getting interesting, because some of the latest research, as talked about in the article, is that you can actually create fatty livers in rats by feeding them sugar. And you can do it, I think it was in a week, with the equivalent, or a couple of weeks, with the equivalent of feeding rats what for a human would be 8 to 10 cans of Coke a day. Now, I've known people that go through that much Coke in a day. Now, granted, that is a lot of Coke, 8 to 10 cans of Coke. And certainly, hopefully not the average of us are doing that. But what they also found in these laboratory rat animals is that if you have an intake of, a high intake of fructose, maybe not as high as 8 to 10 cans of Coke a day, but even at lower levels, over time, the same thing happens in your liver. Because your body actually processes fructose different than it processes glucose. Glucose is processed by every cell in your body. And when we eat carbohydrates, they have glucose, well, they are converted into glucose in our body, and our bodies process them. But when you eat sugar, high fructose corn syrup, brown sugar, white sugar, beet sugar, cane sugar, 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 all of it, it's actually processed by your liver. And if you hit your liver too hard or hit it continuously, then your liver develops fatty deposits, according to this article, because of the consumption of sugar. And once that happens in your liver, then you develop metabolic syndrome and you become insulin resistant. Now, thankfully, if you get off the sugars, the early research seems to be that the liver will go back to functioning normally and the fat will disappear. But there seems to be, at this point, a fairly substantial correlation found between the consumption of sugar and fatty deposits, which lead to metabolic syndrome, which not only cause you to gain weight and all of the associated health problems with gaining weight, including stress on your hips, your ankles, your knees, and the increased risk of heart disease. Not only is all of that present in metabolic syndrome, but the article is talking about that there may even be a connection back to cancer. Because they think when you have insulin resistance and your body is not absorbing the insulin and using it to drop the sugar levels in your blood, what happens is your body produces more insulin because it thinks it's not working. And there seems to be a correlation between insulin and insulin-related hormones that cause tumors to grow. So here you have this cascading effect, apparently, of eating too much sugar that causes fatty livers, which causes metabolic syndrome, which causes insulin resistance, which throws off your triglycerides, throws off your cholesterol, which leads to heart disease, which also confuses your body into making more insulin than it needs to make, so that your body is constantly living, or fairly constantly living, in a state of high insulin, which then encourages tumors to grow, which leads to the instance of cancers, of increased risk of cancer. This is not a good road. And I know some people say, well, but it's not proven yet, and I'm just going to keep eating sugar until it is. Well, you know, according to this guy in this article who's trying to be very objective, according to him, he's trying to be very objective, there's certainly enough evidence and things lining up at this point that it really makes sense if you are a person who is concerned at all about these things that you begin taking a hard look at your sugar intake. You know, I don't eat that much sugar myself, but certainly on Sundays, you know, I slack off a little bit, and certainly this last weekend we were off visiting relatives, and I certainly had my share of sugar and cookies and all those things this weekend. I'm getting my mail, by the way. One moment. I certainly had, now, probably if I had read, maybe I did read this article before I went down. I mean, I need to get this in my head as well, that I just really need to cut way, way back on sugar. Because when you really read through this article, it's like, oh, this does not sound good. And there's some really interesting studies that have been done on populations like the Inuit, Native Americans up in Alaska, how they had a very low, I'm backing into my garage, a very low incidence of cancers when they were first found and medical records were kept, all that sort of thing, very low incidence of cancers. And now over time, as they've been adopting more Western diets, you know, their incidence of cancers have gone up. Let me read you just some little stuff here. The second observation was that malignant cancer like diabetes was a relatively rare disease in populations that didn't eat Western diets. And in some of these populations, it appeared to be virtually non-existent. In the 1950s, malignant cancer among the Inuits, for instance, was still deemed sufficiently rare that physicians working in northern Canada would publish case reports in medical journals when they did diagnose a case. In 1984, Canadian physicians published an analysis of 30 years of cancer incidence among the Inuit in Western and Central Arctic. While there had been a, quote, striking increase in the incidences of cancers of modern societies, including lung cancer and cervical cancer, they reported there were still conspicuous deficits in breast cancer rates. They could not find a single case in an Inuit patient before 1966. They could only find two cases between 1967 and 1980. Since then, as their diet became more like ours, breast cancer incidence has steadily increased among the Inuit, although it is still significantly lower than it is in other North American ethnic groups. Diabetes rates in Inuit have also gone from vanishingly low in the mid-20th century to high today. So there you go. Let me just read you the last little blurbs out of this article that I had highlighted since I'm in my garage and I can read now. So how does it work? Cancer researchers now consider that the problem with insulin resistance that leads us to secrete more insulin and insulin, as well as a related hormone known as insulin-like growth factor, actually promotes tumor growth. We talked about that. Most of the researchers studying this insulin cancer link seem concerned primarily with finding a drug that might also work to suppress insulin signaling in incipient cancer cells, and so they hope inhibit or prevent their growth. See, that's the thing. We eat a lot of sugar. That causes us problems because we might be producing too much insulin, and that causes tumors to grow. So let's figure out how not to make the tumors grow. You know, there is a simpler answer. As we talked about, as the guy talks about in this article, he says, if it's sugar that causes insulin resistance, they say, then the conclusion is hard to avoid that sugar causes cancer. Some cancers, at least, and radical as this may seem, and despite the fact that this suggestion has rarely, if ever, been voiced publicly before. For just this reason, neither of the two researchers, Cantley and Thomason, who we talked about earlier, will eat sugar or high fructose corn syrup if they can avoid it. Quote, I have eliminated refined sugar from my diet and I eat as little as I possibly can, Thompson told me, because I believe it's ultimately something I can do to decrease my risk of cancer. Cantley put it this way, sugar scares me. So, I don't know about you, but when I read stuff like this, I think, you know what? Cookies really don't taste that good. Because, okay, sure, maybe if you stop eating sugar for a while, your liver will clear up, and then everything will be happy, happy time. But by the same token, why not just not eat it to begin with? And the answer is because not only is sugar potentially toxic, sugar is also highly addictive. And I know I've said this before, but I will say it again. I am always amused that we in the church world have chosen our drugs carefully and decided that it's okay if we eat high fat, high sugar, high salt stuff. That's okay, because those are our drugs of choice, as opposed to someone, say, smoking a cigar or smoking a cigarette or drinking alcohol or taking cocaine. Those drugs are not okay. It's just more of this silliness that I've talked about before of people saying they aren't us. And so we'll have our own stuff. Me personally, I'm really trying to get through life without too much addictive behavior. And I know it's hard, but I think I really have decided that I'm going to try to make a better effort to stay away from processed sugar. And surprisingly enough, that's going to include fruit juices. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.